web at faithrogueriver.org.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
And this is the Rogue Announcer. I am Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for April 7th, 2017. Welcome to today's show, and we've got a pretty important show today for the community. We're going to be talking about the school bond measure that's on the May ballot. And of course, as you know, we've talked about this on and off on different weeks of Rogue Talk. And 2 weeks ago, I gave you a lot of my feelings about not only the district at large, but the measure itself. And we talked a little bit about property taxes and all of that. And you can go back and listen to that show from 2 weeks ago if you want to hear more of that. But today we're going to have, from the school board, Rob Heilman will be here, and we will talk about why he thinks the first bond failed, and we'll ask him what is this new bond going to pay for, and why is it so important to the district. So we're going to get into that today, and a lot of ground to cover on that, so we won't waste too much time. We'll try and get to that interview and find out what we need to know about the bond measure. And so in local news, the only story really to talk about this week happened overnight, and that was the windstorm that came through southern Oregon and northern California last night, and actually most of Oregon got hit by various parts of this storm. And it brought a fair amount of rain, but more importantly, it brought a lot of wind. And I guess at one point this morning, there were approximately 70,000 customers without power from Pacific Power, and also some customers in Northern California that were without power. I don't know if everyone's been restored. I doubt that everyone has been restored at this point, but I think most of the customers are back up online. But most notably, this morning what that did was it forced a lot of schools to close today. The Rogue River School District was among those schools that closed. And the reason for that was the power had not come back on before the buses would normally go out on their routes. So that's when they have to make those kinds of decisions. And the power was not on, so they held the buses and canceled school. And of course, as those things usually work, the power came back on less than a half an hour after the call was made for school to be canceled. So a lot of happy students today, but they won't be so happy come the end of the school year, because with all of the missed days from Snowmageddon, they're running out of places to make up the time. So the kids may be in school until July at this point, so they may be happy about that now, but they won't be too happy about it come the end of the school year. And also from that windstorm, I haven't seen a lot of reports from damage other than, of course, the power being out. But here locally, the Woodville Museum has sustained a pretty fair amount of damage. Their large sequoia tree lost a large section of it, came down and basically cut the large storage building that they built a couple of years ago along the elementary school fence line. It cut it almost in half, and I haven't been over to get a really close look, but from all indication, it doesn't look too good. And there was a group of people there assessing the damage when I went by earlier, but I didn't get out and take a look at specifically how bad the damage was. There was also a part of one of their walnut trees that had come down on top of the jail. The jail probably will fare okay. It's built out of brick, And I'm not sure if the roof structure of the jail was damaged at all, but it was hit by a pretty large limb also. So if any of you have stories about the storm last night and you want to call in, you can do that at 541-299-0498. That's 541-299-0498. And we will open the lines again at the end of the show after our interview with Rob Heilman. So let's move on to Chieftain Sports. The Chieftain teams were back in action this week after spring break. The baseball team headed to Lost River on Saturday and dropped both ends of a doubleheader. Finals from those two games were 23-13 and 8-1. And the softball doubleheader that was scheduled for Phoenix was canceled. And I never did get a report on why those games were canceled. Probably not enough players for the Chieftains. I don't know how Phoenix's team is, but with a lot of the kids on the Europe trip for spring break and other activities, I'm guessing that likely that may have been it. Although there was a fair amount of weather last week that also could have made the field unplayable. But I never did get the report on that. And Phoenix has a pretty nice facility that they play at. That's not at their school, but it is over toward Talent. And so I doubt that the weather was an issue. But either way, the girls couldn't play Saturday's doubleheader, but then they did return to action on Tuesday and suffered their first loss of the season. It was a shutout loss, final score of 10-0 in five innings, and that was at Brookings. And the boys were able to bounce back on Tuesday after dropping both ends of the doubleheader on Saturday. They came back with a five-inning 15-1 win over Glendale. And so the Chieftain team's back in action, and of course they'll be playing again this weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And so that's all the news and sports I'm going to have for you in this segment. We're going to cut this segment a little bit quick here so we can leave as much time as we need for Rob Heilman and talking about the upcoming school bond measure on the May ballot. So we will take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk to Rob Heilman. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The home of the Chieftain Nation. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
With us for sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Cleveland Cavaliers are not quite ready to give up their top dog status in the Eastern Conference. They went into Boston last night, crushing the Celtics 114-91 to move back into sole possession of first place in the East, a game ahead of Boston. LeBron James, who had 36 points, was asked if the Cavaliers are championship ready following their March slump.
Only time will tell, you know, but we played Cavs basketball tonight, and when we do that, we're a pretty good team. So four more games left, I believe, and we can see how we can finish the season off there. Continue to get better going into next weekend.
Cleveland also holds the tiebreaker with the Celtics for the top seed. Golden State wrapped up the top overall seed with their 13th straight win, 119-111 over Phoenix. San Antonio fell at home to the LA Lakers, 120-111. The Spurs will have to settle for the second seed of the West. Miami was a 112-99 winner over Charlotte. The Heat now in a three-way tie with Chicago and Indiana for the last playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. This is SRN Sports. Russell Westbrook fell a rebound short of a historic triple-double, but he scored 45 points as Oklahoma City beat Memphis 103-100. Westbrook remained tied with Oscar Robertson with 41 triple-doubles. Toronto beat Detroit 105-102. The Raptors have climbed half a game ahead of idle Washington as the two teams battle for the number three seed in the East. Houston beat Denver 110-104. That win secured the third seed in the West. The LA Clippers were a 112-101 winner over Dallas. A pair of NHL games, Washington 2, the New York Rangers nothing. The Caps wrap up their second consecutive regular season points title, the top seed of the Eastern Conference and Metropolitan Division title. Caps left winger Marcus Johansson had 2 assists.
That's the first goal we had for the year. I mean, and now we just focus on the next one. I mean, this is, this is just a part of the big thing we want to do here. And now we just got to keep moving on and keep getting better.
One of their NHL finals saw Buffalo edge Montreal 2-1. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now joining me in the studio, a school board member and the president of the Rogue River Chieftain Booster Club, Rob Heilman. Welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So, of course, we've got you here today to talk about the upcoming bond measure on the May ballot. And, of course, we had a bond measure on the ballot previously, and it went down in defeat. So before we kind of get into what this bond is for and why we think we should support it, why do you think maybe it went down in defeat? Now, in this area, there's a lot of history of people not wanting new taxes, but really this wasn't a new tax. I mean, it was replacing an old bond, and nothing was really going to change except that we would continue to get the funding that we need for the schools. But do you have any feeling of why you think that may have gone down?
Absolutely. Actually, after the vote in November, what we did is we went out, or a couple of us went out, and tried to get feedback from the community as best we could, both verbally, Facebook, a couple different avenues. And we got some good responses from people that were willing to say, okay, I didn't vote yes because of this reason. And once, that you see that on Facebook, kind of starts to, one person says something and it kind of rolls into a large chain there. And it was actually really positive in a way, because it showed us what we didn't realize ahead of time. So a couple things. First, some common threads from that feedback. One was, you kind of hit on it, this area in particular, is it's very common to find people that say, I don't want any more taxes, or I want no taxes at all. It's kind of that mentality. And I'm not here to say there's anything wrong with that, but that's one of the common threads that we heard is, well, even if they understood that it wasn't going to raise taxes, they were just wanting no tax, fewer taxes in general. So that was one common thread. Another one that was often, that was a big one that came up a lot, was just a general mistrust and kind of mismanagement of funds, of mismanagement of financials for the district. And as you dove more into those specifics, that kind of went off in two directions. One was previous mismanagement of the bond that is about to pass, about to finish from 15 years ago. There's a large segment of the community that feels that wasn't spent on what it was supposed to go towards. And then there's just a general also feeling from some people that feel like, oh, it's a school district. They mismanage funds all the time. As a school district, you guys just bought new chairs, you bought new desks, you gave teachers raises, you got new lockers. That money could have gone towards the stuff you're asking us for. And so just this kind of general feeling that the district mismanaged funds across the board, both in the past and in the present. So that was another kind of common thread that we heard from. And then there were some that were just, I don't have kids in the district. Why should I pay for the schools? didn't have enough information about the bond, and so I just voted no. And so those were some of the common threads that we found as we got some feedback.
Yeah, and I think there's some legitimate arguments to be made, especially when it comes to not just maybe how the district has spent money in the past, but more so the communication to the people that live in the district, and more specifically even to the people that have kids, that do have kids in the district, that, hey, we're doing this, this is where the monies came from. And it, what it really kind of ends up is they're, you get some people knew about it, but a lot of people, they start seeing new lockers on Facebook, or they start seeing all this old furniture for sale at the elementary school, and they're like, what are we doing? Where's this money? Where's all this money coming from? And so even if there's no actual misuse of the money, mm-hmm. there's that perception. So exactly. I can definitely understand that.
Exactly.
And let me play devil's advocate a little bit here, sure. because I definitely hear some things, and I'm not necessarily in a position to defend or mm-hmm. to agree with what's said. But I hear a lot of things about people being unhappy with what's going on with the district. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the money that's being spent. But we're seeing a lot of turnover with staff and with teachers. And, we have a recent hire from just this past year that is leaving, and there's some controversy there about that. And I don't want to get into the details of that. Of course, that's not sure. really something we need to cover today, but that's where some people may be getting a little distrust with the district mm-hmm. in particular. Is there any real way for that to be addressed from your perspective as someone supporting the bond? Because I know they're two separate issues.
Sure. That is a tough one, because they are two separate issues, but in let's be honest, I mean, anything that ties to the district oftentimes will run into your general support of that cause. So all those are very important questions. And so any of those kind of issues, they're both separate and they're both the same. And so, you know, there are a variety of questions that came up at our forum last night also that didn't necessarily pertain to the bond, but they're issues that people want to build trust, or want their questions answered to assure that the district is in the right hands, I guess is the best way to put that. And, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, we have made a lot of strides in the last 6 years since I've been on the school board. That was about... I've been around the schools about 7 years, and that's when I decided to get involved. And I can tell you that we are in a much better position than we were 6 years ago. Now, to the specific issue that you're referring to, you know, teachers, that's been a problem since I've been here as well. Part of that over the years, my first few years, was due to, pay. You know, pay was a big issue for a couple years when I first got involved. We've now corrected that. You know, we've made some huge strides and corrected the teachers' pay significantly. So we're on par with a lot of the districts locally. Some of them from this year are more, you know, specific. There's more details involved. And so, you know, it's one of those that our attrition rate this year will be significantly less than it has been in past years. But however, we still will lose some really good people. And that's never fun. Those are ones that concern me as well as a school board member. And I'm very astute to that. I try to stay very abreast of the details, the finer details, and give my input and help maybe steer the direction as best I can based on what I'm hearing.
Sure. Now, you mentioned you had a forum last night, and we hadn't mentioned this yet, but there was a forum last night out in Weimar, and there'll be another forum next Thursday at the Rock here in town.
Correct.
And that's a good opportunity for people to come out and voice their concerns and get their questions answered. And so, but you did mention that you had to answer some of those concerns last night. How were you happy with the turnout last night? And do you think that maybe there may be a better opportunity with another week of talk about what's going on, to get more people out to next Tuesday's event?
I was happy with the turnout, but I also, anytime you're in charge of or you're involved in one of those events, you always want more. You want more people. And in that kind of environment, you know, we particularly chose Weimer to start there for a reason. You know, I think that in the past for Rogue River, there's always this kind of back and forth of, you know, it's the city and it's Weimer. And I think, you know, this school board and this administration in particular has really tried to make, you know, take great strides into to connect the two communities. And so, you know, we wanted to start in Weimer and really try to get the word out there. The turnout could have been better. I would have loved the turnout to be a little bit better. I mean, we still mostly filled the room, but it's kind of one of those things in this environment, especially with the bond failing in November. What I would really love is for those that have questions about it, those that maybe voted no, to come and learn more about it, to hear the counter proposals as to why we support this or think it's important, and or to even just voice, look, you know, they could stand in a room of people, their fellow community members, and say, I'm voting no for this reason. You know, we've put the title of forum on it for a reason. I mean, it's an educational forum, but at the end of the day, we will give any amount of time for anybody in the community to ask questions, to also address their concerns, whether that's just informational or whether that's just, I'm voting no for this reason, and to try to convince their fellow community members. And that's, you know, really the goal. We want this to be an open process, and so that's why we've created at least these three events. I would have loved to have some of the people that said no at that event last night, even though I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive. Why would you want the people that are, you know, voting against it to be there? But really, we want those people there. We want their voice heard as well. We want them to give their reasons why they may not support it, and it's just a good kind of back and forth. One thing we did talk about after the meeting is, you know, if we feel like people say to us, yeah, I couldn't make that event, but I wouldn't mind coming and giving my voice or, you know, addressing some concerns, we may do another one towards the end of the month. But we haven't just defined a date and we haven't solidified that yet. We just want to see what the response is first.
Okay, and you did mention a third event. So on the 20th, another Thursday, the 20th of April, there will be a tour of all the schools. And so that kind of gets us into the next thing we need to talk about, which is, what is this bond measure going to pay for, and specifically maybe even school to school? What are the needs that that we need this, or that this money will be spent on, at least initially?
Sure. And yeah, so you talk about the event that's coming up on the 20th, and that is a public tour of the facilities. And the reason we wanted to do that is, you know, one thing we did hear is I just didn't know enough about the bond measure in November. So this is a step in that direction to not just the forums, but also, you know, allow the community to show up, you know, go through the schools, see what they look like, see what's going on. You know, if you talk to students at any level, the elementary school or the junior, senior high school, you know, one of the biggest issues you hear is, you know, air conditioning or heating. So let me step back out for a second. So, you know, we went through this long process to do a bond. You know, I had to learn this as a relatively new school board member in my sixth year. But this is the first bond process I've been through, and so I had to learn about it. And it's a long process. It's a very long, kind of drawn out, complicated process. First step is you know that you want to possibly go for one. You bring in outside architecture firms, and they do this really large needs assessment of your facilities. And they find everything. You know, they go through with a fine tooth comb and say, okay, these are all the projects that you really could do, you need to do. And so we as a district then get a estimate on that. And our initial estimate that we got was about $15.6 million between all the facilities. Now, you know, we look at that, and obviously you're not going to probably tackle all of that at one time. And you also want to look at those individually and say, okay, what are they recommending? Does that really make sense for our schools, our community? And so we went through that process. We looked at it, and then we also surveyed the community. You know, what do they want? What would they love to see things improved on? And an outside firm did a really nice survey of the community and gave us a lot of input from the group. And so as a school board and as a district, we looked at that and said, okay, we've got our assessment, we've got input from the community. How do those two intersect, and what do we look at going for? So what we heard in the assessment and what we heard from the community, they actually paired up really well. So Rogue River School District has financially struggled for many years. I think anybody that's lived here long enough knows that. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's lower funding just because our enrollment has declined. You know, funding levels from the state and federal, you know, as they fluctuate, that hits you. You've got increased costs in PERS and other things that affect your budget every year. And so maintenance is often one of those things that, as you go through your budget cycle, gets hit in a school district. And that was very true for Rogue River well before I got here. And so there was never enough of a maintenance budget to keep up with the needs of buildings that were built in the 40s and you know, further back. So it's like anything, your house, your car, you know, it needs maintenance routinely. And if you don't do that, it's going to give you big, you know, big problems down the road. And so essentially the district is right. It's very close to those big problems.
Yeah. And I'll take a quick aside here that points to a couple of things that have happened in the past in this district. The decision to close the school, the Evans Valley School, it was not, nobody wanted to do that. Nobody was excited to do that, but it financially really was the best decision that they could make. And it wasn't easy for anyone. And the other one I would point out, which would be a little more controversial, but the last time that the teachers were holding out and wanting more, and without getting into, I know precisely what brought that to a head and got the agreement done. Mm-hmm. It had to do with state funding, but what they were arguing about, and not to take sides on this, but they were arguing that our school was holding back more money than what other districts traditionally did. But this is a perfect example of why they felt the need to do that. Mm-hmm. The attendance in this district has been dropping. Fluctuations can hurt a small district like this so much more than a big district like a Medford school district.
Absolutely.
So the fact that in my eyes, and I don't have all the details, of course, but at that time, I was happy that they wanted to hold back more, because you need that rainy day fund. And in a small district like this, if you don't have that, these needs we're talking about with this bond measure become even more glaring, because mm-hmm. you have no way to even deal with them, let alone pay for the actual upgrades that you need to do. So
absolutely.
Just kind of wanted to hit that a little bit before we went on.
Right.
So
I'll
go ahead and let you keep telling us what this bond is going to be doing.
It was a great point. You're right on the money on that. And so, you know, we looked at all this, and so the biggest needs that came out of all of it were each facility has HVAC issues. You know, the elementary school east campus has no air conditioning. It's got an old heating boiler unit that barely functions. You know, again, most of that facility was built back in, I think, 1920 or 1940, somewhere around there. And that unit's from then. And so you've got kids, my kids, who are in second grade. They come to school in September when you still have 90 and 100 degree days. And they're just sweltering. And then you get into the heat or the winter of December, January, February, and they're freezing in their rooms because they've got heaters that hardly work. The West Campus is not much better. Some rooms have air conditioning. Others don't. Same heating issues. High school is in a little bit better position as far as they've got units that are newer and they're sustainable, but they're way past due for upgrades and maintenance. And so you've got high school students that, you know, first period, they'll show up in parkas and hats and bundled up in gloves and blankets. You know, a lot of the students carry around blankets in the middle of school. And then they go to second period, which is a room right next door to first period, oftentimes, and they need to be in shorts. And so it's, you know, the problem with the district, because of lower funding over the years, is we've done what you call Band-Aid maintenance. You know, you put a Band-Aid on a big issue, your bumper's about to fall off, you put a little Band-Aid on it, that doesn't really do the job. And so it actually costs you more long term to try to tackle these things. You know, $30,000 to try to fix just a little problem with the air conditioning, when really, if you fix it properly, it would run much more efficiently and cost effectively. So that was the biggest issue. HVAC came back. asbestos is a little bit of an issue. I don't want to, you know, we talk about asbestos and I think, you know, a lot of alarm bells go off and say, okay, my kid is around that. Yeah, it's in the facilities a little bit, but it's not in any contact points. You know, for example, there are some tiles underneath some tiles in some of the flooring. They're not exposed, they're enclosed, so it's safe. But to replace those kind of things, we need to get that stuff out of there. And so there's a cost to that. You go back to the HVAC system. To do any upgrades on that, you need new electrical in each building to handle updated, new, proper HVAC systems. Also, the other thing that comes to mind and that is a big issue in today's world is safety. You know, safety upgrades, single point of entries. You know, we've got all kinds of safety issues with you know, guns and people that are walking onto campuses. And so you look at our campuses and all three of them are very open. And so that's also something that was very supported by the community in the survey, as well as came up in the architecture firm's needs assessment plan. And then there's a little stuff, you know, roof, flooring, doors, windows need replaced, parking lot needs repaved. Those are all projects that are just way overdue. And so it's tough to handle those in any type of yearly maintenance budget. So that's kind of where we started. That's where we came up with the amount. So it was initial projects, $15.5 million, give or take. We looked at that and said, okay, well, we need to build trust in the community. We need to show the community that we can take projects, keep them smaller. Instead of 15 years, let's go for something smaller that doesn't raise taxes on the taxpayers. And so it goes from one bond right into another, short period of time, takes care of our most important needs, and builds on that as an investment. And so we tasked the administration, and as a group, we got together and said, okay, well, let's pare the projects down to priority, what's most important, and what would bring us to about that timeline and cost. And so the total that came out of that was about what you see on the actual bond measure, which is about $3.3 million. So, and if you mentioned breaking that down by school, the top priority is the elementary east and total project cost of about $1.4 million. Then you've got the elementary west, which comes out to about $667,000 and some change. And then the junior senior high school was kind of the third priority defined, and that's at just under $500,000. And so also one of the things we did, so that brings it up to about $2.5 million if you do the math. Of course, our bond is for $3.3. You know, one of the things we did, and this actually ties to a concern the community gave us, is to, you know, previously the bond was not handled appropriately, was not managed appropriately as far as the funds. Well, if you look back as to why that was, a little bit of that is misconception and miscommunication, as we often talk about, and just, you know, the school district not communicating as to why that was or what happened, and the community kind of making up stories as to why that happens. And the truth is usually in the middle somewhere. So if you look into that, what happened is when you start the process for a school bond, you do the needs assessment, you get, you know, estimates from one or two different firms on what the cost will be, so that's what you go out for. Well, by the time you do all this, go out for the bond, the vote happens, you get the money and are able to start projects, it can be 2 years or more. By the time this all happens, costs go up. And that's what happened 15 years ago to the Rogue River School District. That's what's happened to some locally. Klamath Union is the most prominent example we use. You know, you get an estimate, you go to the taxpayers for that money, the costs go way up, you start your project, you can't finish it, or you can't do the entirety of the project that you defined. And so certainly it can look like the money didn't go towards what you promised it would. So one of the things we did is we worked with the firm, we built in contingencies for that. So that's where the $3.3 million comes from.
Sure, and that makes sense. I mean, I know when we bought the house we're living in now, we had a lot of things we had to do, had to put a roof on, needed new heating and air, and we did get some money back from the seller for some of that. Mm-hmm. But by the time we got to the end of our kitchen project, granite was out of the question. There was no more granite countertops.
Right.
There was the cabinets weren't the really nice ones we wanted. So it seems like, well, you're asking for more than you need, but you're really not, because when it finally gets done, it still will probably be less than you need, because that's just the way these things work.
Right. Exactly.
So is there anything else you want to tell us to, you know, to promote this again, we'll hit those dates one more time. And
sure.
But is there any other points you want to make about this that, you know, maybe people are could be unclear about, or just, you know, why we really need to get this done?
Absolutely. Yeah, and how much time do you have? I'll hit on a couple points, and certainly you may need to stop me for time's sake. But you know, one of the important things I think for the community to understand, and again, it ties to some of the concerns for the community that maybe voted no, is, you know, we can only put this money towards what it's defined in the bond measure. So, you know, we can't take this if it's approved, we can't take it and go spend it on a new stadium. You know, we can't take it and spend it on a fancy gymnasium or something. It's, you know, what's defined in the bond measure is HVAC improvements, ADA fixtures, electrical. You know, those are the things that are defined, and we also have the safety features defined in that in case we get a matching grant, because we've got an opportunity to get a matching grant as well from the state. Those are the only things this money could go towards. So to assure the voters, hopefully, that's an important point I would love to make. Also, the other thing I'd like to say is, you know, I think the high school students said this well when we started promoting this, and Mrs. Wright and Hillary Daves also, you know, chimed in on this. You know, the Rogue River school districts have made huge strides, you know, in these last few years. I mean, we are really on a great path. We still have a long way to go there. I mean, you touched on, you know, some of the issues that you hear about every day. They're by no means perfect. We still have a lot of work to do. However, the trajectory that we are on is significantly improved and something to be very excited about. And so while, you know, if we don't pass this bond, the schools will go on. They will go on. The kids that are there will be very successful. The teachers that are now there will be very successful. You know, we're producing a really great product right now. However, you know, this ties to the no more taxes, or I don't want to pay for schools, my kids don't go there mentality. Schools are very important, and even if, you know, you can say, well, you know, I went through those schools, they're fine, you know, decades ago, and that's, yeah, they are fine, and they'll continue to be fine even if we don't pass this. But how much more could we do if we can start to compete better with the schools that are around us? That's a challenge for us, is, you know, we're a small school packed around schools that are a little bit bigger. And so we talk about this all the time, where we lose kids to, you know, the surrounding communities, Grants Pass, Medford, you know, Crater, Cascade Christian, because they have other programs. They've got more facilities.
We don't utter that name on this show.
I know. But it's an unfortunate reality that we deal with. And so, you know, whether the community likes it or not, it is a business, so to speak, and we are in competition with others. And so we need to have a good competitive product. That's also, you know, you go back to the teachers component, you know, and raises. That's an important thing, so we can compete and keep good teachers. Another part of that is you look at the community. You need, my opinion, this is just my opinion, but you really want the best school that you can have, because to me, the community is a reciprocal relationship. You've got the city government, as in, you know, city, fire, police. You've got the business community. You've got the school community, the education community, and they all have a symbiotic relationship. You know, if one's not doing very well or two aren't doing very well, they're all going to struggle, and they're not going to produce the best product or the best community. And I think, you know, our community has struggled in a couple of those areas at times. And so schools are an important component. You want the right citizens in your community. You want them to be able to compete and the kids to stay here. Air conditioning is one of those basic features that helps teachers, helps students keep their attention. And that's really, you know, what this bond is about, is getting us to another level so that education can move forward in a much more efficient manner. But again, it'll go on. You know, we just really would like it to go. The matching grant is something we didn't touch on, so if I've got time, let me touch on that.
Sure.
Periodically, the state of Oregon, when schools go out for a bond measure, will allow you to apply for a grant from the state, and they'll match whatever your bond is. So, like, our bond at $3.3 million, we've applied for that matching grant from the state. They're going to do it for this May election. And if we're successful, we're on a list, and a couple above us will need to fail for us to get it. But we would have gotten in November. We would have gotten the matching grant in November if we were successful. If we get that, that's an additional $3.3 million that our school will get to be able to use towards projects. And in this case, we would work on those safety projects, in closing, the facility, single points of entry, emergency lighting and system upgrades. So very important projects, and they're not going to go to waste, but if we have to be successful and pass it to get the matching grant.
Sure. So we're probably going to run out of time, and we could probably talk a lot longer about this for sure. But I would encourage everybody, get out to these next two meetings, clear the next two Thursdays from your schedule. The meeting at the Rock on the 13th, that'll start at 6 o'clock, and get your questions answered, find out. And I will kind of say the one complaint you hear a lot about, well, I don't have kids in the school. Why do I want to pay for the schools? Well, you've never called the fire department because your house was burning down. But if it's burning down tomorrow and you decided you didn't want to pay for that, you might be sorry about that decision. And as Rob mentioned, the kids are an important part of our community. And the stronger the schools are, the more of them will stay in this community and make it a stronger community.
Exactly.
And we've gotten into the other issues of, property taxes being an unpopular tax and all of that. And if you want to hear some of my views on that, you can go back a couple of shows ago and get that on the website. I had a fairly long rant about that. And we even had a caller call in and from California and give his experience of similar situations. So you can go back and listen to that. We're not going to get into that today. But if you're someone, especially someone that is wanting to or is thinking they're going to vote no again, we're not here to change your mind if you're set in your reasons, but we'd at least like the opportunity to show you why this is important. So clear those 2 days, the 13th at the Rock, and then the 20th, where are you meeting up for the school tour?
We'll start at the elementary school.
Okay.
The plan is to start with the priority list. So
sure.
We'll start at the top one at the east campus of the elementary.
Okay, so I would encourage you definitely check those things out. And I want to thank you, Rob, for coming on the show again today.
Well, thank you.
We're kind of a longer interview, and we're kind of pressed for time, so we're not going to be able to take any phone calls in this segment. We'll have a short final segment. I can take some phone calls there. If you want to voice your opinion, you're welcome to do that. Rob won't be here to answer questions for that, but I'm happy to get your comments on this bond and see where we're at. It's an important thing, and again, I have all kinds of views on this, and I've already given those, so go back and listen to that show if you want to know what I think. But what's really important is get the information so that you're making an informed decision on this. So once again, I want to thank Rob Heilman for coming in.
No, you're welcome.
And
thank you.
We'll definitely have you back, if not for this, definitely for other things.
Sure.
You're very involved with the school, and we appreciate all of it. So we'll take a break here, and I'll be back with our final segment. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk
on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says Russia's response to the U.S. attack on Syria shows it continues to support Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Tillerson calls the reaction very disappointing, but not all that surprising. The Kremlin has denounced Thursday's U.S. strike on a Syrian airbase as an act of aggression against a sovereign state and a violation of international law. Government offices in Sweden will fly flags at half-mast Saturday to honor the victims of a hijacked beer truck that plowed into pedestrians at a Stockholm department store. Prime Minister Stefan Löfven calls it a day of mourning for Sweden. He said in a statement that the attack targeted our society at its most vulnerable, where we are going about our daily lives. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 7 points, the Nasdaq dropped 1, the S&P lower by 2, oil up to $52.24 a barrel. This is SRN.
Your home for Chieftain Sports. 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. A company created by the inventor of the light bulb seems to have a dim view of its future relationship with this device. Unidentified sources are telling the Wall Street Journal that General Electric is considering selling its light bulb business. The report says GE has been talking to investment banks about its lighting business, which could have a price tag of $500 million. GE was co-founded by Thomas Edison more than 100 years ago. Panera Bread fans should not see any changes as a result of a chain sale. Company officials say the sale to JAB Holdings for more than $7 billion will allow management to focus on transformational efforts, including the expansion of delivery and digital ordering. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 41 points with business. I'm done.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And so I hope you enjoyed that interview with Rob. I found it to be pretty informative, and I would definitely encourage you to get involved in those meetings and, you know, make an informed decision. I wouldn't tell anybody to vote for something that they don't agree with, but definitely get all the information. So we don't have a lot of time left, but a couple more things I wanted to cover before the show ends today. Let's get to the upcoming sports. The Chieftain track team will be heading tomorrow to Brookings for the Brookings Harbor Rotary Invitational, and that'll kick off at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So good luck, Chieftains, there. Of course, the Rogue Talk mascot will be participating in that, and we'll be rooting for him. Also, the golf team is back in action on Monday. They also travel to Brookings Harbor, and they'll be playing at the Salmon Run Golf Club, and that's on Monday. And then tomorrow, Chieftain baseball and softball back in action at Rogue River High School. Both games start at, both doubleheaders start at noon tomorrow. And the first game of the ladies' doubleheader, the softball doubleheader, will be right here on 94.3 The Bridge. We'll be on the air at about 11:50, and first pitch will be 12 o'clock for Lady Chieftain softball. And we'll also try and keep updated on the first game of the baseball, on the baseball side of things, and try and keep you updated on that if we can make our connection there to do that. So that's coming up tomorrow, and if my schedule is correct, then both teams are off until the end of the week, and we'll have Chieftain baseball next Saturday as well. But we'll talk about that on next Friday's show. Another thing we haven't talked about in a few weeks that we did for the first time this year here on 94.3 The Bridge was we had our NCAA bracket challenge, and up for grabs was a $50 gift card to Tarasco's Mexican restaurant. And we had quite a few people sign up and get into the bracket. And of course, I was in the bracket. I wasn't eligible to win the prize. And Pastor Evan was also in the bracket. And it was a close run. And for a while, actually, a lot of you know Mike in the Truck that assists us on our broadcasts quite often, and we mention him here and there. He was in the lead for quite some time, and it looked like he wasn't going to be caught. But a couple of games really came up and bit him and dropped him down in the brackets when Duke lost, and then who he had picked as his winner, Arizona, also lost. That put Mike in the Truck out of contention. And then it looked like that Pastor Evan may have been able to win the whole thing, even though he wouldn't have been qualified for the prize. We would have given it to second place. But coming from behind and really winning it in the final four round, because both Pastor Gigline and our eventual winner had Gonzaga in the championship, so there was no chance for Pastor Gigline to gain any points on our eventual winner. And so winning it in the final four was Gavin Decker, and we've got him on the line. Gavin, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
So we got you here to let you know that you are the big winner in our bracket challenge, and you're going to win a $50 gift card to Tarasco's.
Awesome. Very stoked about it.
So pretty good bracket. From my estimation on some of these brackets, if you got to get into the thousands if you really want a realistic chance of winning, and you were the only one in our bracket that broke 1,000 points, so that's what got you the win. Now, you also were running a bracket for the school. You had a school-wide bracket, and you had a lot more people, actually, in your bracket than we did in this one. And tell us who won that bracket.
Carla Regals ran away with it, which is actually a staff member. And I completely wish I would have never talked her into joining the tournament.
Well, you know, you had a similar situation going with your bracket that we kind of did with ours for the longest time. It actually looked like Courtney Secreta might come away with the win. But those late rounds, some of the top brackets got knocked out, and some different people kind of snuck to the top, just kind of the way you did and also the way Carla did in your bracket.
Yeah, for sure. I think towards the end, especially, if she wouldn't have won and NCU wouldn't have won, there would have been an entire new top 10 just because of all the Gonzaga winners coming out of the woods.
Yeah, and I'll admit, I was not sold on Gonzaga. I didn't think they would make it as far as they did, and they gave it a good run and couldn't quite get it done in the championship game. But at least for our bracket, it didn't matter to you because you were going up against someone who also picked Gonzaga, so no chance to lose any points in that final round.
Yep, very exciting, too.
So, well, we're happy you participated. We're also happy that one of the people that were in the bracket that we didn't know who they were, we're happy that they didn't win because we were trying to track them down and make sure who they were. And we want to thank everybody for signing up. It was a fun time. I think we'll definitely try and do it again next year, and maybe we'll even sweeten the pot or give away more than one prize. But I know Pastor Gigline knows right where to find you, Gavin, so we'll make sure to get that prize over to you.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much for the opportunity.
Yeah, you bet. So thanks for doing that, and thanks for joining me today on Rogue Talk.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, we'll see you again.
All right, bye.
So that was Gavin Decker, and he was our winner, and like I said, it was a fun contest to do, and we'll definitely think about doing that again next year. I had a great time with it, tracking it. The only thing that I will warn people, at least my experience for this year, and I'm an iPhone user, and the app was completely unreliable. I kept checking the scores and seeing who was where, and a couple of times I checked the app and it said Rogue Announcer, which was of course my bracket, was in first place. And I'm like, there's no way I was in first place. I just lost two games in a row. I can't be in first. And so I'd go online and look it up online. And sure enough, I was, you know, down in eighth or somewhere. And the only thing I'll say about my bracket is, well, I didn't finish last, Coach Cameron. I didn't do too good. I was looking okay at certain times, but as it went on, I was dropping like a hot rock. And we do want to thank everyone for participating in that. It was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to having some Mexican food with Gavin. We'll tell him that part of winning the prize is that you have to bring the Rogue Announcer. Of course, Pastor Gigline will be asking to be a part of that too. And you know, you can, Gavin, you can tell him you don't dine with your neighbors. So, so anyhow, we'll definitely, I think we'll do that again. And maybe we'll have another contest later this year. We'll see something we can tie that to. But that was a lot of fun. And we're thankful for everybody for participating in that. And once again, if you need something to do tomorrow, come on out to Rogue River High School. Got a baseball doubleheader and a softball doubleheader. And if you can't make it out there, you can listen to the softball game right here on 94.3 The Bridge. We'll be on the air at 11:50 for a 12 o'clock start. We'll have game one. And so that's everything I've got for you today. I want to thank Rob Heilman for joining me and Gavin Decker for joining me. And once again, everybody, be good to one another, because Road Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.